I have a very special guest here who we have never met. In fact, her name's Tammy Crane. Tammy, we've never met, right? Okay. Yeah, this is, boy, this is going to be an experience for you. let me start by doing this. I am actually going to start my conversation with her by reading to you all a passage of Scripture. Now, again, this is not a religious radio station. Mine is not a Christian program. We all know that. But I don't shy away from God and His Word when it makes sense. This is John chapter 4, verse 10. John answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The incredible encounter there that Jesus has with the woman of Samaria in John 4:10. And 4:10 is where the 4:10 ministries that you head up, that's where you got your impetus to get started.
Correct.
Okay. What is it about that verse that spoke to what it is that you're trying to do now in the lives of young women in the greater Fort Wayne area?
Jesus is our model for our ministry. He went out of his way to talk with this woman. He didn't wait for her to come to him.
Okay.
He was on a mission, and he didn't care what her background was. So he crossed, for one thing, he crossed cultural barriers because he was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. They didn't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
He also was a man, a teacher, and he wasn't supposed to be talking to a woman
right.
by himself.
Especially a Samaritan woman.
Yes.
Right.
And she had a background that caused her to have to go to the well at noon and avoid everyone else. Women went to the well in the morning and at night, not at noon. She had to go, you know, during the hottest part of the day to draw her water because she was outcast by her society.
She needed water like everybody else,
yep.
but she couldn't just go get it like everybody else. She had to avoid the questions and the conversations that would come if she showed up when everybody else was there. Tell me who the Samaritan women are that your group reaches out to try to reach. Who are they? Where do we find these women? What are they doing?
Okay. The women that we reach out to work in the adult entertainment industry in Fort Wayne.
Okay.
Some people want to call them the strip clubs, but they're women who I believe are marginalized by our society. They're not looked well upon.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, and so we want to befriend them and support them and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them.
Now, can you hear some people listening right now? If we've got 40,000 people listening right now, did you hear about 10,000 of them go, "Oh, she's got to be kidding"? Okay, right? I mean, because in our head, you know, well, I thank God that I'm not like this one. You know, I mean, that's
yeah.
kind of the attitude. Probably almost none of the women that are in those positions, that wasn't their dream, that wasn't their
no.
aspiration. That's where their ship has landed, and they've got to make money somehow. And some of them are trying very hard as abused women, as single moms. I mean, they're literally just trying to pay the same bills we're all trying to pay, and it's just a little difficult for them.
Yes. Most of them did not dream as little girls that this is what they were going to grow up to do.
Yeah.
A large percentage of them, it's someone else when they're in a crisis situation, when they're going to get evicted or they've gotten fired from a job that they might have had, or they're just coming out of foster care at 18
mm-hmm.
that suggests to them, "Hey, you can go do this and pay your way." And so many start out thinking, "I'm only going to do this for a couple of weeks just to pay these bills." And some do, but some of them end up staying.
Yeah, they end up locked in. And I don't know any in town. I did know one of them about 30 years ago, because I did business with him in a totally different industry, but he was involved in that business of running those kinds of bars and all that kind of thing. And it almost felt mafia-like, you know, that once he got his claws into somebody, because if she's making good money dancing for the club, she's also making good money for the club, and they these guys don't want to lose them. That's got to be tough for them. And plus, it's a little tough if maybe the some of the management or the big bosses realize why you guys are there. I could see where they could feel a little threatened by that.
Actually, no.
No?
No.
Okay.
Primarily because I can look at them in the eye and honestly say, I've never told a girl to stop dancing.
Okay.
That's not my agenda. My agenda is to befriend her, love her where she's at, mm-hmm. and share Jesus with her.
We get that backwards, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus saved me, I was 2 weeks out of high school. When he saved me and he infilled me, I had the presence of the Lord with me. That began to change who I was and how I walked. Sometimes in our churches, if somebody is in a situation that we consider unseemly, it's like, well, clean up your act and then come see us. That's never going to work.
No, no. And who am I to tell a girl that she needs to stop dancing? I don't know her circumstances. That's not my place. And that comes off very judgmental.
Yeah.
My job is to love them unconditionally.
Now, and I want to talk about this when we come back from our break here, but primarily you and the ladies that work with you, you go to the clubs.
Yes.
I mean, you pay to go in just like everybody else pays to go in.
Well, actually, we don't have to pay to go in.
Really?
Because we're known as the church ladies, and the club extends us grace, and they do not make us pay.
Really?
And they welcome us, and because they see that we are there to help these girls out in a crisis. We've had managers from clubs call us and say, hey, this girl's in this situation. Can you help her out? And we do.
Really?
Yes.
That's when you start to realize, you know what, maybe we're on the right track of something here. We're going to talk to Tammy again when we come back in just a minute. We got to go to a quick break. And I want to ask her when we come back to maybe, without names or anything, but just one or two young ladies, what was a story of somebody that you found in a situation and how did it change through coming in contact with 410 Ministries? I find this really fascinating. And these ladies are doing, I think, heroic work where I couldn't do it. I might have the same intentions. My motives might be just as pure as theirs. But if I'm a guy going in there, that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Nobody's going to believe it. Primarily the girls that are dancing that needed to be touched with the love of God. I mean, I can love them. I'm going to love them a whole lot better if I support something like the 410 Ministries. And we'll talk about that, too. And you're going to hear from Kayla at some point in the next half hour with an interview that she did this morning. But over here in the newsmaker chair, Tammy Crane from 410 Ministries. Again, Tammy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Let's talk real quick before it gets away from us. If people decide they want to be part of your ministry as far as giving, mm-hmm. they can do that.
Yes, absolutely.
You can find them at 410ministries.org, and it's 4, F-O-U-R, then the number 10, 10, and then ministries, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S, 410ministries.org, or I'm going to give you a phone number, and you can go here. It's kind of like when you give to Penny Pitch. Go to 855-709-0427, and then just text in the word give, and then you'll get a prompt back, and you'll be all set up on how it is that you can give to the ministry. 855-709-0427, or go to 410ministries.org. You mentioned something to me that of the young ladies that you deal with, the number of them that end up sharing with you that they've had some form of sexual abuse in their upbringing is what percentage again?
85% to 95%.
That's just unimaginable to me. Does it, I don't want to psychoanalyze people I don't know, but has that played with some of their heads? Do some of the women that you talk to that they're doing what they're doing and dancing where they're dancing, they think that's the life that maybe they've been ascribed to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When that happens to a little girl, it totally rewires her brain and her body. It affects how well she learns at school.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up what's called complex trauma. And that plays in heavily into putting them in survival mode.
Okay, you're going to stay with me after the news here in a minute, so we've only got about 2 minutes right now. But real quick, if you're in the club, let's say tonight's your night, you're going to be at club tonight,
mm-hmm.
If you meet a young lady for the first time tonight, she's a new dancer or she's never danced on Thursday nights before, what is your start of a conversation with her? What is that like?
Just like you'd meet anybody else. Small talk. We're not going to pounce on them with...
Don't you know Jesus can help you?
Yeah. We're just not going to do that. You know, how do you develop a friendship? You start with small talk. I ask them if they have any children. I ask them if they have a significant other. If they don't have any children or significant other, then I ask if they have pets. You know, things that we can find in common. Ask them what their hobbies are.
So you're just finding ways of just getting conversation flowing here.
Yes.
I thought it was really interesting earlier when you talked about the fact that one of the managers one time called you from one of the clubs and said, hey, one of the young girls here, here's what she's going through. Do you think maybe you guys could help her out? That is enormous to me that he saw the need. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they know that we're familiar with the resources that are out there in Fort Wayne. I've really tried to connect and find out what's available in Fort Wayne if a girl has a light bill to pay. Where can she go? And so I've learned a lot. And so we just try to point them to the resources that they need. And sometimes, you know, they'll just bring a girl over to our table and say, hey, and introduce her and say, hey, she needs to talk with you.
So is it rare that you go in alone? Do you normally have...
Never go in alone.
Okay, so you've got like two or three ladies with you, and you all sit together.
Yes.
Have you ever had other customers badmouth you or jeer you?
No.
Really?
We've had men sit down with us and be curious and want to know more about the ministry. And we're just real honest with them and say we're here because we want these girls to understand how much God loves them and cares for them. And we're here to help them and point them to resources they may need.
Right here off my left elbow in the newsmaker chair is Tammy Crane. And we've been talking to Tammy about 410 Ministries, which I find very encouraging. We read John chapter 4, verse 10 at the start of our time together. You could go read that. When we get done with this interview will be up on our website. And John will have it there to where we've got the phone number if you'd like to give. We have the ministry address if you'd like to go see them. But Tammy, let's talk real quick. So tonight, you're going to one of the clubs, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to know which one. There's five or six in the area. Mm-hmm. But, so you're going to a club tonight. You go every Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
You never go alone. So it's you and two or three others, however many there are. And you go in, you sit, you're at your table, and then you sit there, and then you find ways to just begin regular conversations because these, at the end of the day, are regular young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Give me, if you can, no names or anything, just some kind of a story of some young lady, where you found her and the kinds of things that have come about for the good for her in her life because of touching your ministry.
Yeah, so I can think of one gal in particular, and she actually has done a video for us as a testimony.
Really?
We blurred her face.
Okay.
But she just talked about at 18... really having an issue with wanting to be in control in life, and came from a dysfunctional family, did not feel loved by her parents. And so she started dancing at 18. She got into addictions with marijuana and alcohol and cocaine, and was in the throes of active addiction when she met the church ladies. She was skeptical for a while.
Sure.
And
that's understandable.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. But then she kind of, I would say, life hit her in the face. And so she became very close friends with one of the church ladies that was going into her club.
Okay.
She knew she needed to get clean and sober, and the church lady went with her to celebrate recovery for a year.
Wow.
They are still very, very good friends, and she has gotten clean and sober. She eventually placed her faith in Christ, And she is now in a Bible study with us and growing in her faith. She's definitely had some hard things come up.
Sure.
But she did not go back to her addictions as a way to cope like she had before.
Okay.
She's learning to walk with Christ, and she is now a single mom. And so, yeah, I mean, it's stories like that that just...
Yeah.
And she was very, very hardcore. You know, one of the ones that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. Real rough edges.
Yes.
Yeah.
But God has just really transformed her. And
Now, you started all this when?
2007 was the first time we ever went. December okay. of 2007 was the first time we ever went into a club.
When you said you were going to start doing this, did your husband look at you like you were a nutcase? Or, I mean, did he really get what you were doing and why you're driven? Did he ever say things like, honey, aren't there other things that we could do for them?
No. He's been very supportive
okay.
of this. It actually took me, when God... spoke to my heart about this. I was afraid to share it with anyone because prior to his changing my heart, I had been very prejudiced against them.
Okay.
So
you knew what other people were probably thinking
yes,
about them.
And so right. I was afraid that others would think I was crazy or judge me for wanting to reach out to this group of women. And it was learning, really, that about the sexual abuse. I had been ignorant.
Yeah.
And that is what really broke my heart.
You know, I would have expected 20, 25%. But when you start saying 85 to 95%, did the sexual abuse make them go into the lifestyle they're in? Maybe not. But it certainly opened a pathway to their thinking. Mm-hmm. To where maybe this is what life is going to be like for me, which is sad. That's just sad.
It is. It's very sad.
I worked in another industry 30 years ago, and one of my salespeople brought a young lady into my office, and she was a dancer at a place, and she was young, and she was attractive, and she was dressed a little differently than I might have liked for her to be in my office. But when I talked to her, and we transacted business, and she purchased whatever we bought and all that, I found she was brilliant. She was a brilliant young lady. And I was not in a position to say anything to her.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, do you have any idea what you could be? I mean, I'm not saying you're a bad dancer. I'm not saying you're not making some money. But you could just be anything. You know, do the girls ever come and talk to you after they're not dancing anymore and they've gotten on with other parts of their life?
Oh, we stay in contact with them.
Okay.
So this isn't a, I lead you to Christ and I abandon you.
Yeah.
This is...
No, that's the job of the church.
I'm walking with you for the rest of your life, need be.
Yeah.
I am here for you. This is true friendship. This isn't, I just want to be friends with you so I can share my faith with you, and if you don't like it, then I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
That is not the case.
Well, it sounds to me that you all are of the mindset, and you are all of the heart attraction for what you're doing. That's probably exactly what these young ladies need. Most of them are probably age 35 and younger. Some will be older, mm-hmm. but mostly you're in a very young age set.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what they do, their own parents may not even be talking to them at the time. You know, so, you know, I don't, you know, if the guys that work
or
with your dad.
Or they distance themselves from their parents because of the background.
Yep. Yeah, the 85 to 95%. Where was that? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God's blessings on you ladies and what you're doing. How many ladies do you have in your group that go out and do visits like you do to the different clubs?
We have 8.
Okay.
We could always take more.
Okay.
But we have 8.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing for most women to envision themselves doing.
Yeah.
But when God lays it on your heart, it's pretty hard to tell him no.
Yeah. If you have an interest in this, just contact Tammy through the website.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think if you send her a note today hey, I'd really like to. That doesn't mean next Thursday you're going to be sitting with her in a club. I mean,
no, this there's
is going
training.
To be a, this is going to be a slow walk.
Yes.
So, I mean, you need to know within your own head and heart, is this the right thing?
Yeah.
And then you have to slowly walk until you get to that point.
Yeah.
To make that happen. There's no way I can thank you enough for coming in here today. And I realize this is a tough situation. But something just pricked my heart after everything that happened with the clubs down in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd had another guest on by phone last week, and they talked about the number of young ladies, primarily Asians,
yes.
that were being shoved into prostitution mm-hmm. through these massage parlors. It, mm-hmm. it is just so unseemly, and it's not like this is happening in some dark corner in some third world. Some of this stuff happens, well, like in the clubs, some of this happens in the buildings that have more lights going on than anybody else in town. But there's still that dark side of it.
Yeah.
It just gets its claws into these young ladies.
And, yeah. Yeah.
You just hate it.
Well, the sex industry in general, between escort service, massage parlors, pornography, all of that is a multi-billion dollar yep. industry yep. in the United States.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we're not talking Japan and Korea yeah. and China. We're talking yeah. about here.
We're talking about here. Yeah. And in the world, it's becoming one of the fastest growing industries that makes the most money.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
Thank you for being one who stands in a gap. And I know everybody you talk to isn't going to trust you, and everybody you talk to isn't going to make a conversion, a difference, but many will. And that's where you go for.
Yeah.
You know, to reach out. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you for the privilege of being able to come and share.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure this isn't the last time you and I are going to talk. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure of that. So okay. hang loose. We'll make sure you get out of the building here, okay? We've got a special alarm system down through there with
okay.
dogs and monkeys and everything. So make sure you get out of here. All right. All right. That's Tammy Crane. And again, you can find out more about her at 410 Ministries, the written outward for the number 10. And then ministries, 410ministries.org. John will get the interviews up on our page. It'll be up there probably by 5 o'clock. So you can go, you can re-listen if there's somebody that you want to hear what's going on. Maybe if you think, I wonder if God could use me in a ministry like that. Maybe he can. And, you know, start the conversation, but start it now.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.